tonight's shir, and the shirim throughout the rest of the summer, and apparently for the past couple of weeks also, but I've been misannouncing it, is sponsored not by Friends of Ben and Yael Englander, but actually Ben and Yael Englander, Zechus Erefur Shalema, for their son Zecharia Kalman, Ben Yael Margalit. So the shirim throughout the course of the month should be Zechus Erefur Shalema for Zach, and the Zechus of our Talmud Torah should be a tremendous Zechus for him. Okay, we are still in that first packet on Bishul Akum, and there's still so much more to do on Bishul Akum. I keep saying we're going to finish it. Tonight we're really going to finish it. We had a whole shiur on Nechol Kamo Shul Chai, a whole shiur on Ein Ol Shulchan Malachim, and then last night a whole shiur on Ein Kavanasa Levashel. Those are the three exceptions to Bishul Akum that can be found explicitly in the Gemara, and there's not much room to debate those. There's not much room to debate those heterim that are explicit in the Gemara. I wanted to discuss tonight those heterim that are not as explicit in the Gemara. So we started last night the heter mentioned in Tosfos, Al-Namad Chesam Al-Aleph, that Tosfos quotes from the Ravid, but we pointed out maybe it's not the Ravid, maybe it's someone else, but likely it's the Ravid. Three places in Shas that Tosfos quotes the Ravid, this is one of them. We saw Rabbi Akiva Eiger says in Yuma. So anyway, Tosfos quotes from the Ravid that another heter that's not mentioned, doesn't seem to be mentioned in the Gemara anywhere, but just misvara, that the whole list of Bishul Akum is only k'shovet k'chavim mevashlam bebeiso. Aval k'shu mevashlam bebeiso shal Yisrael, ein lachush lo l'chasas lo l'shem yechlenu dvarim t'meim. Right? That it's only a concern when he's in his own house, not when he's in your house. We started to give svaras for that heter, and then we never really got to reading the other part of Tosfos, which of course is where Tosfos himself disagrees, or Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who disagrees with that heter. So Tosfos quotes v'lo hodala Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam did not agree to this ravid. Devada kiven shavit kochavim mevashel lo chilku klal chachamim ben rishus haYisrael l'rishus ovid kochavim. That if the chachamim asur bishul akum, they did not distinguish between rishus Yisrael and rishus ovid kochavim. Kiliolam yeshlach Hashem lo yizar gam bebeis. Now, what's he saying? What's the grounds of forgetting understanding the Ravid? On what grounds is Rabbeinu Tam arguing on the Ravid? Meaning, the Ravid's saying, for whatever reason, and we don't need to discuss right now, this moment, exactly what the reason is, that when you are Bebeis Yisrael, when you're in the house of a Jew, there's no reason to be concerned for the concerns of Bishul Akum. Whatever they might be, there's no reason to be concerned for them. Right, Yachlenu Davartame, Chasnus, for whatever reason in Jewish home there's no reason to be concerned for it. Let's assume that that's a given, that there's no reason to be concerned for it. What's Rabbeinu Tam saying? Is Rabbeinu Tam saying, yes, there is? Or is he saying, Amod, there's no reason to be concerned for it, but that's not the way Chacham makes zeros. When Chacham makes zeros, they make zeros across the board, and they're not going to start making dakas de chilukim. Well, if it's in your house, in his house, in this house, in that house, they make zeros, they make zeros.
Yeah, both.
So it sounds like a little bit of both at first. I was thinking about this tonight a little bit. Why do you say a little bit of both? He starts off clearly saying what?
The chachamim was that over Bishul Akum, not over whose house it's in.
Good. Lo chilku klal. They're not mechalek. They don't make any chilukim. Not that he's taking issue with the reasons. It's just not mechalek. So granted, in a Jewish home, it doesn't make any. None of the reasons would apply in a Jewish home, and really, misvar it should be mutter. It's just not the way Chacham do gzeros. But then, yeah.
He says that really that it could still be time because you're not going to be careful in your house, just like you're not careful.
So now.
Is it being kosher or being
chas? So one second. So when Tosfos then says that, when Rabbeinu Tam then says that second half, and ki li'olam yesh lach l'shem elo yizar gam bebeiso shel Yisrael kimo bebeiso shel ovid kochavim, it sounds like he's saying that the concerns of Bishul Akum are every bit as much a concern when they're in a Jewish home as they are when they're in a non-Jewish home. Right? But what were you asking?
Was Yizar from what?
Right. The word Yizahar is strange. The word Yizar is difficult. Who's not going to be careful? And careful about what? When I'm in my own home, I'm going to be just as not careful about marrying a non-Jewish woman as when I am in the non-Jew's home. Is that what it's about? I'm going to be just not careful about eating non-kosher food. What's that lo Yizahar about? Yeah?
In terms of
cooking,
in terms of anything.
No, 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 it's not anything. What's he not going to be careful? If it's about the guy, what's he not going to be careful about? Davar Tame. So is that to suggest that Rabbeinu Tam is only concerned about Davar Tame, that his issue with Bishul Akum is a Davar Tame issue? And that's why he's telling me that when the guy is mevashel for you in your own home, you still have to be concerned because you still have the Shamiach Lenu Davar Tame. So Rabbeinu Tam is assuming, like the Das Yachid of the Rashbam, that Davar Tame is the only concern? And against, even Rashi admitted that it was Mishum Chassus, and he used Davar Tame to address some other concern, or however we understood that Rashi, but see the old Shurim on that. But come, is that what Rabbeinu Tam is saying? That would be a tremendous chiddush to say something like that. L'chora, yeah?
It seems that he is, because he prefaces the entire discussion by quoting that Rashi, then seems to go on a totally irrelevant conversation.
Then he rejects the Rashi. I mean, he says, I don't like the Rashi.
But then he said that he's quoting a different...
No, but why did he... I thought he did that because he was introducing the Ravid. And the Ravid was saying neither of the reasons apply in a Jewish home.
Then he's quoting another shita that would go...
I would assume would go with the... with at least both reasons. At least.
Why can't you go with Chasmus either?
What's the lo yizahir about Chasmus?
Now... If he's not going to be careful in his house regards to Chasmus, like he isn't... Once he's in the house of the Chabon, that's where we have this whole problem with Chasmus. That he's going to come over there and then that's where we have a problem. So just like in the guy's house is going to be a problem in his house also, he's not going to be careful.
Okay, so in order to address that, it's important to understand what the Ravid is talking about. When the Ravid says, I'm not worried about Shamiach Lenu Davar Tame in a Jewish home, I understand that, because in the Jewish home, it's mostly kosher ingredients. So it's possible if a mixed basar and chalav or whatever, he's not going to check the broccoli for bugs or whatever it is. So it's possible that Yach Lenu Davar Tame in the Jewish home, but it's not as much of a concern as in a non-Jewish home where you could take ham out of the fridge and, you know, make that. What about the chasnas issue? Why is that not as much a concern in the Jewish home? What's the svara for the Ravid? I mean, if we're going to understand why Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with that, so what's the svara for the Ravid? Why does the Ravid say that that the concern of chasnas is not a problem when it's in your home? What? Ah, so this is what we started to say yesterday, that maybe it's because he's your Eved, he's your... Now, does it say that anywhere in Tosfos? Tosfos doesn't say anything about who this guy is, just that he's in your home. So I mentioned last night, yeah, but come on, who's going to waltz into your home and start cooking for you? But still, that's missing from the words. It doesn't say that in the words of Tosfos. In fact, look in Shulchan Aruch. Look at Shulchan Aruch for a second. In Sif Dalet. Says Shulchan Aruch, and this is where the Shulchan Aruch quotes this discussion of the Ravid and Rabbeinu Tam. Yesh mi shamatir b'shvachos shalanu. Right, it's in the first source in the packet. Is the whole Shulchan Aruch on Siman Kuf Yud Gimel. So in Siv Dalid, Yesh mi shamatir b'shvachos shalanu, v'yesh mi sha'oser, v'afilu b'di'eved. Some are matir with our shvachos, some aser, even b'di'eved. Says the Rama, b'di'eved yesh lus mocha divrei matirim, b'di'eved you can rely on the matirim, v'afilu l'chadchil v'nogim l'hakel b'beis Yisrael, Shashvachos v'avadim v'ashlam v'beis Yisrael. Do you get the impression that the Mechaber and the Ramah is introducing new things that the Mechaber wasn't talking about? This is not a classic machlokas, Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber starts talking about our shvachos. That when your shivcha is doing something, there's room to be mekel. Then the Ramah comes along and says something else. He says, yeah, we could be mekel on the shvachos specifically where? Bebeis Yisrael. Sounds like these are two different heterim. These aren't one and the same. That the Ramah seems to be saying, look, b'di'eved, some even aser shvacho shalanu. However, we're somech on the matirim, and l'chadchila we're even somech on the matirim if you have not only that it's a shivcha, but also that it's a beis Yisrael. Meaning the Ramah seems to be assuming there are two heterim out there. There's the heter of your shivcha, and there's the heter of someone cooking in your home. Those are both independent heterim. Neither one alone is particularly convincing. Certainly to be samechan l'chadchila, neither one alone is particularly convincing. So says the Ramah, but put both together. If you have a shivcha who's also in your home, so you put two and two together, and the Ramah says, and throw a third one in there also. Ki'i afshashalo yichata echad mimrei abayismat. Throw a third heter in there also. when you throw all three heterim in there together, then I see why there's room to be mekel. And that's how the Aruch HaShulchan understands the Ramah. That what the Ramah is doing is he's taking three different... I printed out the Aruch HaShulchan because I forgot to print the Maram Kamos. But if you want to take a copy, but if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, I think I have enough copies. No, I don't. But, okay, it's close to enough. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan and see if Gimel and Dalet, you'll see the way he sets it up is very clear that these are two different Heterim. It's not a Chiddush, it's Pashup Pshat. That these are two totally different heterim. The heter of Shivcha and the heter of Beis Yisrael are two totally different heterim. Look in Oz Gimel in the Aruch HaShulchan. Kasar Rabbi Seinu Bali Atosos, he quotes the Ravid with the idea of the Beis Yisrael. And then, 5-6 lines into it, at the end of the line, V'hara'ah b'sefer b'edek ha'bayis kasav, shamati b'shem ari bar manoach, she'ein din b'shulei avdur chavim, ba'avdo v'shivchasa knuyim lo, kivan she'osin derech kfiya, lo shayich k'ruvei daita. There's a separate heter called Shivcha, that if you own a Shivcha and Eved, that's a heter because they're not doing it for you, they're doing it because they're not doing it for love for you, they're doing it because they're forced to do it, because they're a slave. Which makes it sound like the heter of the bias of being in your house is not because they're a slave, it's something else. It's even if it's just a regular person, a regular non-Jew who comes into your house and cooks for you. Not out of slavery, because they're just nice to you and they want to cook something for you. Sounds like that's an independent heter. And if you look at those Dalid, the Aruch HaShulchan says that's exactly what the Ramah is doing. He's putting all three together. About halfway through the paragraph, last word on the line is V'nira, says the Aruch HaShulchan, V'nira lehedya shehekil mipnei kol ha'taymin biyachad. The Ramah is mekel because he puts all the reasons together. V'hainu, what are they? V'hainu, number one, v'beis Yisrael. Number two, v'ashvach ha'schuros. Number three, v'yiev sheshech mimei ha'beis lo yichatamat v'bishol ha'tavshil v'atzli v'dov Ramah l'kari v'bishol. That it's got to be that someone's helping out. And the Rabbeinu Tam says, look, none of them alone are, the Ramah is saying, none of them alone are really good. Put them all together and therefore it's good enough. And then you can rely on it. So, now I ask you again. Let's go back to Tosfos. The Ravid tells me in the Jewish home it's okay. We're not worried about Bishalakum. We're not worried about Shamiach Lenu Davar Tamei, I understand, as much. We're not worried as much about Shamiach Lenu Davar Tamei. Why are we not worried about Chasnos in the Jewish home?
First of all, he was saying that Din Chasnos is only a din going to a guy's house, not for coming to your house. It's only for us not to go there.
Why?
Because to meet their family, I guess, and their daughter.
Ah, so Chasnos, so right. So then you have to go with the other story we said last night, that Chasnos is a sense of feeling comfortable in Gentile culture and society. And you're going to assimilate. In your home, he's got to feel comfortable in your home. I'm saying you have the housekeeper that lives in the house doesn't stop you from lighting Hanukkah candles and from, you know, taking Luvin Esrog and doing all the weird things that Jews do, and you don't hesitate a little bit. It's not like davening in the airport where you have to like pretend you're talking on the cell phone. You know, it's like you daven and you'll whatever if you're assuming you're not davening with a minion, or if you have a minion in your house or whatever. Like it's when you're on your turf, you know, you don't like it, get out of my house. This is what I do. This is my house. I'm comfortable. It's not an issue of assimilating into their culture. It's them assimilating into your culture. So anything that's done on your terms, less of a concern that it's going to lead to a sense of chasnus, that it's going to lead to a sense of assimilation. Good? So that's what the Ravid Svara Pashup Shad, I think, is. So what I'm basically saying is throw out the other Svara for the Ravid about him being someone that's kanoi to you and that you own and that's a Shivcha and Eved. That's not a Svara for the Ravid. That's the Ra'ah and the Bedek Abayis says like that. That's a totally different heter. That's for a Shivcha, and that doesn't depend on whether it's your home or not. The Svara for the Ravid is about assimilation. Now, Rabbeinu Tam is rejecting it. What's Rabbeinu Tam saying? So Rabbeinu Tam says, now let's try to translate that line. I'm just trying to touch up Tosos. I'm not trying to say any fancy Torah here. He says, so again, why is it as much a concern in your own home? Ki li'olam yeshlachu shema lo yizaher gam bebeiso shel Yisrael kimo bebeiso shel Ovid Kochavim. We have to be just as concerned that you're not going to be careful in the Beiso shel Yisrael as you are in the Beiso shel Ovid Kochavim. What does that mean?
You might still get influenced by him, by his culture, although he's in your house.
Okay, so it could be that means the Jew's not going to be careful about his relationship with him.
Or at least the guy won't get rid of his culture when he's in a Jewish house. He won't try to fit in.
What comes out weird about that is that if it's a concern of Shem Yachlenu Davar Tamei, the lo yizaher we agreed before is going on the guy, that he's not going to be careful about what he puts in the food. If the concern is chasus, the lo yizaher is going on the Jew, right? That the Jew's not going to be concerned, he's not going to be careful enough about the kinds of relationships that he's making while this is going on. I think there might be a third possibility, yeah?
Maybe I'm being a little dyke, but I think the other equivalent is just dancing around the way, saying it's a war cloak, that you know, just be careful, because it could happen. Like, it's a little, even though...
Tosfos or the Aruch HaShulchan?
Yeah, even within the Aruch HaShulchan. Even though it's not in the words, like, at all, but, like, you're just saying that, it's like, you have just enough reason to be careful over there than you, in your house than you do, according to Rabbi Natan.
See, I think you agreed into Tosos. This is what I was going to say, the third possible. I think you agreed. Lo plug, not only in the first line of Tosos, meaning in the previous line of Tosos, in that line of Tosos also, I read lo plug. That, what's Tosos saying? Tosos clearly starts off, first of all, if you want to tie up, like you were tying before, that Tosos says two things. That, number one, lo plug. Number two, the reasons of the rivet aren't really true. His lashon is very mugumgum then, right? Because he starts out by saying, "Devadai kiven shavik chavim vasha lo chilku klal cham be rishus shol rishus shavik chavim ki li ola." What do you mean ki? Va'od, right? It should be number one. It's a low plug. Number two, even if it's not a low plug, you still the reasons don't work. The ravid svar is no good. I don't think he's arguing on the ravid svar. I think all he's saying is low plug. Is why there's a low plug. It's a low plug because we're concerned that if we let a guy eat food cooked by a non-Jew in his own home, he's going to eat food cooked by a non-Jew in someone else's home. Meaning people aren't going to make that distinction on their own. People are going to assume, look, I'm allowed to eat food cooked by a non-Jew. I'm going to eat it everywhere. It's just not something so... you can ask gzera l'gzera. It's not a gzera l'gzera. It's kulachad gzera, clearly. It's clearly made all at the same time. This wasn't like the Rabbanan instituted gzera of bishlakim in a non-Jew's home, and then later on realized, oh my gosh, people are not differentiating between a Jew's home and a non-Jew's home, so let's make it aser in a Jew's home. No, when they originally made the gzera, they said, no one's going to make such a chilek. People aren't such lamdanim. You tell them they can't eat food cooked by a non-Jew, they're not going to start thinking, oh, my house, his house, they're not going to make such chilukim on their own. So mela, it's going to be, it makes sense that it should be a low plug. Even though the particular concerns may not be as much of an issue in the Jewish home, but the way, once they put this into law, the way they formulate the law is not really, the formulation of the law is not chasnus, the formulation of the law is not davertamei, the formulation of the law is, don't eat food cooked by a non-Jew. So once they're formulating that into the halacha, they can't. People aren't going to make those distinctions on their own. Yeah.
You could really say the opposite, though. That Tos is explaining why it's a little plug by saying that there actually is a chashash in the Beis Yisrael. Because I thought we explained in the Yom Kippur that low plug is only shayach when there has to be at least some shaychus in the actual case. Meaning it's not just. You don't just make a low plug from something to another thing. If the thing that you're making a low plug on...
Yeah, I just don't think that's what the words... For sure. Meaning, for sure, in the Jew's house, there's always a concern of something. It's definitely some level of korva, right? Saying good morning to your neighbor is also some level of... Meaning, there's definitely something there. I just don't think that's what the words lo yizahir mean. I don't think lo yizahir has anything to do with chasnus, nor does it have anything to do with davar tameh. Lo yizahir just means that a regular person is not going to make this chilek. Is not going to make this lamdash chiluk between his own house and the non-Jew's house. And that's all low plug. It's all the vart of low plug. But you're right, in a chinami, in the Jew's house, there's also a minor concern. Not enough to have made a gzera for, but enough to include it in the low plug.
But that can't be what the word yizahir
means. I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see how. Meaning, you want so, let me just see. Let me try to think open-mindedly. You want to say that it's a low plug, Tos says, ki, and the reason it's a low plug is because yesh lach Hashem lo yizar. Who's not going to be zayir?
The Jews.
The Jew is not going to be zayir in his own house about what?
I mean, whatever. Or if it's about Dabar Tami, then the guy with fastness.
And kimo sounds like that they're almost on even footing. It's hard to say that, meaning it's the right at svara, if we said it right, is pretty good. The way you deal with things on your own turf is very different than the way you deal with things when you're in the guy's house.
Yeah, so it's different, but it's not nothing. That's why it's low.
Yeah, I just don't think, to make it a low plug, it doesn't have to be the same. Meaning he's saying, that makes it sound like he's equating the two. I think the equating the two wouldn't fit into the reasons of the gzeira. The equating the two would fit into the actual carrying out of the gzeira.
Why do you have to say lo chalku klal is dafka lo plug? Why don't you say that's a response to the ravid? The ravid want them to be mechalik. He's saying no, we're not mechalik between these two things. It's not working with the lo plug. The reason why we're not being mechalik it is because ki eshul zahar. It had nothing to do with lo plug. Lo chalku is not referring to that. It's just a response to the ravid.
Saying lo chalku klal doesn't mean lo plug.
Yeah. I feel like that's more mitzvah because it's saying ki. What's the whole reason why lo chalku klal like the ravid? Because yishli zahar.
No, the source of my whole problem, the only reason I wanted to be medayik this way is the words lo yizahar are strange. It just doesn't. Those aren't the best words to use. You're trying to say, you know, that there's going to be a problem of Shem Yachlein Davatami or of Chasnus. There are better words to use than Shem Lo Yizar Gam Bebei Social Yisrael. You would say that, you know, Chashinon Gam Bebei Social Yisrael. Shem Lo Yizahir? I just don't. I think that's the most partial reading of Tosfos. Yeah.
You're still
going
to have the same question as to what it is.
Good. How, whatever you say it is, you could have said, once we're writing our own Tosos, you could say whatever you want. What?
Then what makes that change Lashon then?
No, because the word Lo Yizahar doesn't. The word Lo Yizahar sounds like you're not being careful enough about something. Not that it's going to cause whatever the concern. Cheshinon is that Bishlakim was made because of certain concerns, not because of being careful, but because of concerns of what something is going to lead to. So focus on that. Focus on concerns and what something's going to lead to. Don't focus on my own level of zehirus. That was never nowhere in the lashonos of the reasons of Bishlakim say anything about zehirus. Shem yachlein udavertamei is not Shem lo yizahir v'yachlein udavertamei. It's Shem yargil etzlo v'yachlein udavertamei. Right? Chasnus is also not Shem lo yizahir. It's that you're gonna associate with him, something like that. I think I don't know. I'm pretty sold in my reading right now. I think it's the most partial reading, especially since how do we start shir? And not that I mean no one disagreed when Perlich started shir and said clearly he's saying lo plug at first and then he switches, right? I mean most of us read the pashut pshat in that first line is lo plug. I think that is the pashut reading when you look at unbiased, right? I think that is the pashut pshat reading, and the end of Tosfos I think fits very nicely with it. I don't think he's saying a second part over there. Okay, that's. And again, we have to just bigger picture. The Ravid is a different heter than the idea of shivcha, but those are two different heterim. The Rama puts them both together and says if you put them both together, then you have what to be made with. Now, it's interesting. He summarizes the issue over here. Chalkas Binyamin, Sivkat and Lamed Dalin. I just saw tonight he has a sefer on Chafetz Chaim also. Very interesting. So on that line of Shulchan Aruch of Yeshmi Shemati B'Shvachos Shalanu, that there are people who are Mati with our Shvachos. So on the line of the Shvachos, which again is not the heter of the Ravid, it's the heter of the Ra'ah, of the Shvachos, he says, Shnei Taimim Nemru B'Shita Zu. There are two reasons why Shvachos might be Mutter. Good, now what do we say why Shvachos might be Mutter? Because you own them, and therefore they're not doing it out of a sense of love for you, or a sense of closeness to you, they're doing it because they have to. That's the Pashta Svara. Is there any other Svara? So he says, there is another Svara. He says, Yesha Biru, quoting from the Beis Yosef in the name of the Chuvas Ramban, which is in the Chuvas Miuchasos to the Rashba. It says, Yesha Biru, the Kivan Sheknuyos the Maisi Yadein, Vadunayim Musarim Aleim Shlota Asena Malacha Avuro B'Shabes, that since you own these people, and to the extent that it's your Isser, it's Usser for you to have them do any Malacha for you on Shabbos, Im Kein Lekha Cheshash Chasnos V'kir V'das B'Bishulan Didan, B'Bishulan, Diyadon kiyad ba'alehen, vareza nechshav ki'ilu ha'adun atzma hu shabishel. That when a guy who is owned by you cooks, it's like you cooked. Because if you own him, then everything he does is really as if you did it. And that's why it's not a problem with Bishlakim. You don't view it as something he did, you view it as something you did when you own him. The other heter is the issue of that if he's doing it because he has to, it's not going to be a sense of kiruv das. The nafkamina between those two heterim. So nafkamina would probably be in our situations, shvachos shalanu, our shvachos, where we don't own them, we employ them. So you're not going to say that every maisa that they do is our maisa. You wouldn't have that kind of relationship. You don't have an adon eved kind of relationship. But is the reason they're doing anything because they love you?
No.
They're doing everything because they want to make their whatever few hundred dollars a week and send it back to their family wherever. And that's no, that's they're doing it because that's their right that because they're getting paid to do it. So l'chora, that would be the nafkamina. Yeah.
L'chora, l'chora, l'chora would have to be talking about an eved that is considered an eved in a Torah, like an eved.
It would sound like it would have to be like a real eved,
so
yeah.
You wouldn't be able to draw a line saying, oh, her yad is like your yad when it comes to visual acting, but what about like her being considered
a kohen or
something for you?
Yeah, this is talking about like a real eved.
It would have to be mamash or
before Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, this is a real eved. That's what we'll be talking about. I have to tell you that story. Shefta told me, Shefta said he once walked into the YU, one of the buildings in YU, and he saw the security guard had a name tag that said Zaidi. And he said to the guy, I mean, I don't know how, most people just walk right by them and don't even, Shefta stopped to say hello. He said, it's a very interesting name. Where'd you get the name Zaidi? He said, well, my great grandfather was born on a plantation in the south, and they named him, and he was owned by a Jewish family. And they named him after the grandfather who died in the Jewish family. So they named him Zaidi. So he says, so my name is Zaidi also. He's like, why? What does it mean? It means grandfather. So Rosh Hashanah said, I didn't want it. But the reason I'm telling the story is Rosh Hashanah said, I was thinking, should I tell him or should I not tell him that he's chayiv mitzvos ki'isha? Because if he was never freed kalacha, so then he maybe has a din of an eved kanani. So maybe he's chayv mitzvah kiisha.
There's a tradition article on the halachos of halachos of eved, meaning like back then, meaning what that do and were they halachically an eved or not, and different things. And
oh
like,
really?
There's like one
who wrote
story.
It?
I don't remember. There's like one story of like a African American who said that. He said that he's a Jew because when he got freed, therefore he accepted
mitzvahs and everything. Yeah, so that right. Adrab, if he was freed, it would be even worse. Then he'd be not right. He wouldn't know he'd be chayv mitzvah kiish. He'd be chayv mitzvah kiish. He'd be right. He'd be ger gamur. Yeah. So anyway, so that luchara is the nafkamina between the two hasberim within, not within Tosos, but the two hasberim within the idea of shivcha. It could be, though, you could argue further that it's not really enough kamina, that our maids would not be enough kamina. Because in the situation of our maids, they or people that we employ, so the Chalukas Binyam quotes this as well. He says, Ulam yesh l'stapek im shayich heter zeh b'poel schir yom. Okay, he's talking about a poel schir yom, not our maids, but someone that you hire to work for you for the day. Dikivun du yachal lachzer bo kol shah sheyirtzeh. Says there's a big difference between someone who you hired for a year and therefore is stuck with you and has to do it because they're employed by you and they're not doing it because they like you, versus a person who, let's put it this way, what's the svara of the person who's saying that the person's not doing it because they like you and therefore there's no problem? Is the svara that they're getting paid and as long as they're getting paid it's not because they like you? Or maybe the svara is that even the continuing relationship is not something that's even up to them. It's something that's forced upon them. And the fact that this relationship is going on is something that they don't have a choice in the matter. And that's why it's mutter, because they could hate your guts and want to leave you and want to, but they can't. They're bound contractually or because they're an eved or for whatever reason. So if you're dealing with a person who can quit at any moment and has the ability to quit at any moment, maybe there's room to argue that even though clearly they're not doing it because they love you, they're doing it because they're getting paid, but if they have the ability to quit at any moment and they're not quitting, that says something. That says that there's at least some level of relationship. And maybe all this whole heter wouldn't apply when you're dealing with somebody who has the ability to quit at any moment. Our maids have the ability, and they do. They quit it at any moment, right? They just don't show up on Monday morning, Right? So since they have that ability to quit at any moment, it could be that that says something. The fact that they're still doing it for you says that it's not only because they're employed by you. They're doing it because they like you enough to want to stay employed by you. It's their choice to stay employed by you. As opposed to someone you hire for a year or someone that you own as an eved, where it's clearly not their choice and they're just stuck. In which case, there's more room for leniency. So as you might have guessed, Rav Binyamin Cohen is very against relying on this kula at all nowadays. Now I'll tell you, Rav Shechter was here once giving a chabura to the kolel, to the branch of the Katz kolel that learns in the DRS based marriage in the afternoon, And the rebbeim were, you know, some of the rebbeim from the yeshiva were sitting in on the shir. So someone comes running in from the office. I think Rabbi Storch came running in from the office and interrupted the shir and said that a very prominent family, I'm not going to say who, but they were very prominent, and by that I mean rich family, was making a sheva brachos for one of their children, and they had like 100 people in their home for the sheva brachos. And they just realized that someone had shut off the fire before the food was put in the oven. And they asked the shiksa what she did. And she said that she had turned the fire on. She turned the oven on because she saw it was off. Or the caterer, whoever it was. And they ended up cooking all the food. So Shech said, he's like, it was in the Jewish home. Bidi Eved, Shivcha, fine. Right? He's just like that. Hefsin Maruba, Bimekel. So, I don't know, so as much as Rabbi Binyamin Cohen doesn't want to be samech of this Rav Shechter, I saw it right with my own eyes, he was making for that family.
The Ra'ah is clear that it doesn't have to be Beis Yisrael. It's hard to imagine a case of shivcha that's not in your house. It's definitely not in the shivcha house. It could be in a neutral site, but...
I mean, she doesn't have a house.
In your house, yeah. What,
right. Yeah, I'm just saying he doesn't say anything about the Beis Yisrael. It could be that he's assuming that it's Beis Yisrael, meaning that let's say the Ravid is not bound to the Ra'ah's requirement, but the Ra'ah might be bound to the Ravid's requirement. That could be. I don't know. We'd have to look at it inside. I didn't get a chance to look at it inside. Okay. I think that's it for that heter. In terms of Halach Lamaisa, Rabbi Yom Kohen doesn't seem so happy about it. If you look at the end of that paragraph of the Aruch HaShulchan that I handed out before, he says, "Bivade," and I don't know what the Metzius that he's describing is, but he says, "Bivade shebimekomos hagedolim shein manichem lahashos mesharesis Yisraelis," in big places where you can't have Jewish maids, "Vade diyicholim lismoch al heterim elu," you can rely on these heterim. But where it's possible, you shouldn't rely on these heterim. And that's the minhag v'ein l'shanos. I don't know what the big places are and what it means that they didn't, that ein manichim lahashos mishrasis Yisraelis. Does that mean that the Jewish girls were of too high a class to want to work for you, or that there was some law in the books? I don't know what it has to do with bigger places, smaller places. But the bottom line is, he says, if it's impractical to get, like, let's say in our culture, it would be very impractical to try to find a Jewish girl to work for you, you know, 60 hours a week for $350. You know, it's not something that's easily found, and therefore mistama. It's that would fit into the Aruch HaShulchan's category of where you can be sovech on these heterim. Yeah.
Where's the
I wrote it down. I'm not going to find it again. Lamed Dalet. And then again in like a few sivkatans later, again, it seems that the minhag is to be machmir with our maids, with the maids that we have, probably because of the svaras of the chalkas binyamin. And it could be, as you know, I was thinking about it, that Rav Shechter's kula was in the case of a caterer, so it could be that that's different because you hire them for the job. Meaning the chalkas binyamin svara could still work. What's a svara? That they can't back out. The caterer can't back out at that moment. He's not doing it because he loves you. He's doing it because, even at this point, he can't just walk out the door. He's contracted to do this job. He can't leave halfway through. As opposed to your shivcha, they can and do leave at the most inconvenient times, right before Yom Tov, whatever, right? And that's so that she can walk out whenever she wants. Last heter, we discussed a little bit already, just wanted to mention it briefly again. If you look at the Ran in Yudalar and Beis, Bedat Be'arif, in the back of the Gemara, so the Ran writes, in Dibur HaMaskel Vashlakos, so, which is going over from, no? Which is at the bottom, yeah. The Ran writes, V'nirali, toward the bottom of the page, about 7-8 lines before the end, T'mikal makom kivin da'as mechua bi'alma akra dumyu t'kra ba'inan. Right? The one of the heterim that we discussed initially, which is, do you need it to be nishtana mibriyaso al yidei ha'ar? Let's say the food was not nishtana mibriyaso al yidei ha'ar. The fire didn't change its basic form and its basic shape. So is that a heter of bishalakum? So if the guy takes an onion that's not nechol kmo shulchai, is olal shulchan malachim, doesn't have any of the other heterim, and he cooks it in a way where it doesn't change the basic tzura of the onion, is that a heter? Because the tzura didn't change. It's not nishtana mibriyaso. So the Ran says that, yeah, it's still a good heter. Aye, the Gemara says, no, the pasuk is nothing, and the pasuk from where we derive nishtana mibriyaso al yidei ha'ar, we conclude at the end of the Gemara, just an asmachta bi'alma, and therefore is not where we derive the whole din of bishalakum. He says, yeah, but since they were so michid on the pasuk, dumyu dekrabi inan, you still need it to be similar to the pasuk. Meaning, if you're going to use the pasuk as an asmachta, then they must be assuming it's a good asmachta. And the only way it's a good asmachta is if it somehow actually reflects what the halacha really is. And therefore, the halacha must have been that nishtanim b'riyaso is also part of the heter. V'kol shlo nishtanim b'riyaso al yidei ha'ar kigon klayos afilu hu davar sheino nechol kamo shulchai va'olol shulchum lakum lafes bo'asapas ein bo mishum bishalakum. And he says, when the Gemara comes to the conclusion and says, no, it's midrabanan v'kras machta bi'alma, the Ella doesn't undo the last 15 lines of Gemara where we finally concluded that nishtan and b'riyas ali they are. That remains intact. Dema ma'im shlo nishtan and b'riyas ali they are af ochel. Ella delav drasha mamish yelas machta bi'alma. All it's saying is it's not a real full-fledged drasha, but the halacha that we were assuming that was derived from the pasuk is still a true halacha. It's just no longer derived directly from the pasuk. The pasuk is only used as an asmachta. So now that we know a little bit more about asmachta, because we discussed earlier this week, last week, whenever it was, we discussed the ideas of asmachta, we could probably assume, or at least suggest, that whether you're going to say like that Ran is totally in how you understand asmachta. If you understand asmachta as a simple mnemonic, but the Torah never meant anything by it in terms of any this halacha at all, then it's a little harder to understand what the Ran is talking about. That the din has to fit into the asmachta. Why should the din have to fit the asmachta? The asmachta is just a way of remembering things. The more offbeat the mnemonic is, the better the mnemonic works. Right? But if an asmachta is not just a mnemonic, it's that the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his infinite wisdom, was able to figure out exactly which dinim d'rabbanan were going to need to be made and encoded it in the Torah, just not through the Yidgul Midrash HaTorah and Drash Ben, but it's encoded in the Torah, like the Ritva understands. So then you could see a little bit more like the Ran, that the Ran is saying, yeah, asmachta is real, it's legitimate, it's a reflection of the Ratzon Hashem, and therefore, whatever details of the halacha that are apparent in the asmachta are actually true, the halacha also. And the halacha is bound by the limitations of the asmachta. Now that's the Ran. Now that Ran is against the Rambam. The Rambam Machol Sasuras Parakid Zayin Halacha Tezvav. If you look in source number 35 in the packet, so in source number 35, the Rambam very clearly lays out what the heterim are. And we saw this Rambam. I quoted it the other day. Rabbi Gana quoted. But medvar mamurim bedavar shol al shulchan malachim lechol basapas. Going baser beitzim dag uchiyotzibam. Heter number one, ain't all shulchan malachim, right? Avol davar shein all shulchan malachim lechol baser paskon. The baser shol kos nakum. Avli shein nechon chayin. Even though they're not nechol chay, harei l'mutarim v'kol kiyotzibam. They're mutter. Sheikra gzerim shum chasnus. And again, the point is, he doesn't mention anything about Nishtanim Ubriyaso. He goes to Nechol Chai, he goes to Lashit Malachim, nothing about Nishtanim Ubriyaso. The fact that he mentions nothing about Nishtanim Ubriyaso, the silence is important. He's obviously telling you that he doesn't hold of the idea of Nishtanim Ubriyaso. Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, we saw also, does not mention anything about Nishtanim Ubriyaso. Only mentions that Tarvol Shulchan Malachim and Sif Aleph in Shulchan Aruch. Dover Shem Nechol Kamo Shulchai, Vegamol Shulchan Malachim, right? Shabishal of the Gililim, Afilu Bukli Shal Bebeis Yisrael, Asr Mishum Bishalakum. It's Asr Mishum Bishalakum. Now notice, by the way, the Mechaber in Sif Aleph, that just struck me, says even Bebeis Yisrael. Right, even Beis Yisrael. In Siv Dali, he says, Yesh Mishamati B'Shvachos Shalanu. So what's the Mechaber doing? He's saying, I reject the Ravid, I accept the Ra'ah. Right? So it's clear that the Mechaber is not associating the two with each other. They're two totally independent Shittos. But anyway, the Mechaber doesn't mention this idea of Nishtanim B'Riyas Ali De'ar. The Shach in Sifkat Nalef in Kuf Yud Gimel says that he understands the Mechaber doesn't mention it. He knows why the Mechaber doesn't mention it, because the Mechaber is basing himself off of the Rambam. But he says he has a hard time just pushing away 15 lines of Gemara and a whole Shach Levitari and saying that it's against the Halacha, that the Gemara's whole Maskan is against the Gemara never explicitly rejected this Halacha of Nishtanim Ubriyaso. Shach says, I have a hard time rejecting it. So the Shach is more Machmir, and the Shach then quotes an impressive collection of Rishonim that also are Machmir. The Ran, and the Rif, and the Ra'avan, and he starts shaking out all the Rishonim that are also Machmir, that are also, I'm sorry, Mekil on this issue. They're also Mekel on this issue. He doesn't like the idea of erasing this Kula. He thinks that there's what to be Samechan with this Kula. So it's important to know, as you get into actual cases of Vishalakum, even the Kulas that you wouldn't be Samechan L'chachila, like say for instance, what we discussed before with the Shaila of the Kibbutz Rav Shechter, it's good to know what those Kulas are, because these Shailas do come up, and sometimes you need to know when you can have a Snif L'Hakel, when you can use something as a possible Snif L'Hakel. Vishalakum issues come up all the time. Okay. What the next, moving on to the next pack of Marmukh, those are all the exceptions. So we have questions? All good questions? No? Okay. So the moving on to the next packet. The way I titled this packet, even though we're only gonna really get to this title toward the end, is Bishalakum the coffee. Right? What the issue is with coffee. Coffee is not because coffee is such an important issue, it is an important issue, but it's not because that one food is the most important issue to discuss. It's that it's the halachos of Bishalakum on coffee reflect a lot of the halachos of Bishalakum in general. And some of the heterim that we might have for coffee can be applied much more broadly and used in many other contexts aside from coffee. So we're going to see how taking a few lines of Gemara and Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, how just the sugya is going to develop and ultimately may provide us with a heter for coffee. A friend of mine told me he once gave a shiur in Shavuos night, the halachos of coffee. It's a great idea for a shiur in Shavuos night. So you have Bishalakum, and you have kashrut, buying coffee in, you know, non-kosher stores, and I don't know what else you have, bracha, I guess. Shabbos, right, making coffee on Shabbos. It's a great topic. Okay, so says the Gemara. Take a look at the Gemara first. Lamed Chesamid Aleph, says the Gemara. Amrav Yosef. Before that, Amrav Asi Amrav. About 7-8 lines into the page. Amrav Asi Amrav. Dugim Ketanim Aluchim Ein B'Mishum Mishuli Avdich Chavim. Small salted fish is not a problem of Bishalakum. Amrav Yosef. Im Tzalan Avid Kachavim. Somech Yisrael Eim Shomer V'Tefshilin. If a non-Jew roasted them, you can use it for Erev Tavshilin. V'yabdinu ovid chavim kasat aharsana aser. But if the guy fried them, then it's aser. So, pshita, says more, of course it's aser, it's bishalakum. Well, why wouldn't it be aser? Says more, ma'u detei maharsana ikr kamashmon kimcha ikr. Now, you might have thought that the harsana is ikr, and the harsana are these dagim which are not all shulchan malachim, or are perhaps Nechol Kamo Shulchai, whatever, they have Heterim Bishalakum. Kamashmlon, that the Kemach is Iker, and the Kemach is subject to Bishalakum. So since the Kemach is subject to Bishalakum, that's why it's going to be Aser. So what's the Gemara clearly talking about? You have a food that has more than one ingredient. And some of the ingredients are not subject to bishulakum. Some of the ingredients are subject to bishulakum. How does the Gemara define whether on the food as a whole you have to worry about bishulakum? So the Gemara very clearly says you have to look at what's ikr. Whatever is ikr, that's going to define the entire food. And the Gemara does not say, well, take the breading off and eat the fish, because the fish there was no problem, the breading there was a fish. It doesn't say that. No, you look at what's ikr, and then you can eat the whole thing, as long as you're able to define what's ikr. The Tur quotes this halacha, Irev davar nechel kmo shu chai, im davar shein nechel kmo shu chai, ubishl bov de gelulim, roin ima ikr midvarm sheesh pa mishum bishuli av de gelulim, aser. Vime ikr midvarm shein ve mishum bishuli akum, mutter. Shalchin achara ikr bein lahakel bein lahachmir. We follow the ikr. The formulation of the Torah is notable. He discusses both tzadim. If the ikr is the thing that is problematic, the whole thing is aser. If the ikr is the thing that's not problematic, the whole thing is mutter. Why is it notable that he formulates both stadim? Because whenever you're going to say if the ikr is A, then it's aser. If the ikr is B, it's mutter. What does that leave wide open?
50-50.
It's 50-50. They're both ikr. So he sort of leaves you unsure about that kind of case, about 50-50. Good. So that's the Torah says that halacha. Beis Yosef points out he got it straight from our Gemara. Now, why is it? Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos here, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Kamash Malan Kimcha Iker. Let's just see the basic. We showed him on the page just to set it up, and we'll finish this up on Monday night. Bez Hashem. Says Tosfos. Mikano Yerbein Tam Matir. Kanoish va'abuliash shalov de kochavim lo'osum she'ein nishar mipas shal akum. He says, based on this, Rabbeinu Tam was matir, certain foods baked by ovde kochavim, if you're not worried about pas akum, meaning assuming that you have heterim for pas akum, palt or whatever, then these types of foods that have multiple ingredients and are baked together are mutter. Why? Because apparently this food is made with eggs and flour. Now, in the Gemara, we're talking about a food that was made with fish and flour, and we said that if the flour is the ikur, you do have a problem. And we don't say, no, it's mutter because of pasakum. We say you do have a problem, and it's also because of bishulakum. Why? Because presumably, because you're frying it, you're not baking it. So if you're frying something that's made out of the chameshes mine dagan, but the way you're preparing it is by frying it, that's in the parsha of bishul, it's not in the parsha of pas. So not to get confused between the case Tosfos is dealing with, the case the Gemara is dealing with. The case Tosfos is dealing with is clearly where you're baking it, and therefore, as long as you're going to be able to make the kemach, the ikr, that's going to be a big heter. It's going to be gevalt kakula, because you're going to say, now it's pas. Since you're baking it, you're not frying it. So he says, you have this egg/flour dish that's baked, it's mutter if the kemach is the ikr. Why? Tilamay nechush. He says, what are you worried about? If you're worried about the blood in the eggs, rov beitzim shalanu ein behem dam. You don't have to worry about blood in the eggs, because rov of the time the beitzim don't have dam. Now is that enough? You can rely on that. A rov is a rov enough with machalas asuros? Is a rov enough for something like that? That rov of the time it's a ruba de lesa kaman. There's not a ruba de isa kaman, right? This is not a situation of 10 stores, 9 selling basar shchuta, 1 selling basar nevela, whatever, right? This is a ruba de lesa kaman that most of the time there's no blood in the eggs, right? Is basically what I'm asking is Tosfos saying that it's okay not to check eggs for blood, right? He's not going that far, right? He's just saying that someone put the eggs in, you don't have to worry about the blood. Now, you should just realize, just once we're mentioning this whole idea of blood in eggs, that this is an area of halacha. First of all, it's very complicated, because a lot of discussions in the Rishonim are very intricate about how you can tell how the blood got there and, you know, what the blood is. But this halacha changed over the course of time because the metzias changed a lot. Tosfos is saying, yeah, most of the time there's no dam. If there is dam, what does that mean? If you find blood in an egg, what does that mean? So it could mean two things. One of two things. Either that the egg was fertilized, and there's already the beginnings of something developing, or that there was just some sort of anomaly in the way the tissue was developing of the chicken, of the hen, and it had there's some blood in the egg. Now it happens to be that the way farms work nowadays, any egg you buy in the supermarket nowadays never saw a hen, it never saw a rooster rather. Obviously it saw a hen, but it never saw a rooster. It was never on the same farm as a rooster. They raised the hens completely separately. They put them in special kind of lighting with temperature control to have the most maximize the egg production and the kinds of eggs. And it's totally they don't keep roosters anywhere near them. There's no chance that it's fertilized. If you see a blood spot in an egg, it's not because it was fertilized. It's dover pashut. Now who cares? If it was fertilized, you might be dealing with nisa d'oraisa. The dam that's created is nisa d'oraisa. If it's just some sort of tissue problem, it's likely, it's probable, according to most poskim, what you're dealing with is an isra d'rabanan, at most. According to some rishonim, not even an isra at all, but according to most rishonim, you're dealing with an isra d'rabanan. So that's huge, right? Because it knocks everything down. So for an isra d'rabanan, on a miyachenu matzui, do you need to be bodek? For the isra d'oraisa, you for sure need to be bodek, right? But if they had roosters around, so what was it? It was a miyut, but what was it? 5%, 6%? Okay, technically, according to Mishnah Yaakov, it's a miyut sheino matzui, but it's a significant number. Nowadays, what are the numbers? 1 in 1,000? Not only that, all the eggs are pre-checked nowadays. If they're going to sell an egg in the supermarket, Rabbi Broyd has an article in the RJJ Journal about it. If they're going to sell an egg in the supermarket as a grade A or grade AA egg, the halacha is in law, not the halacha, the din of the malchusa is that they have to check it with a light to see if there are any blood spots. So it's already been checked. So is there a din that you have to check an egg twice? So probably not. Another major nafkamina is if the blood is there because the egg was fertilized, you have to throw out the whole egg. If the blood is there because of a tissue thing that happened in the development, but not because of fertilization, you only have to take out the blood. The rest of the egg you could eat, right? So that's another major nafkamina. But it's striking that Tosa says, "Yeah, dam, don't worry about it." But, you know, nowadays it's you don't have to worry about dam so much because rove of the time it's not there. And this was in times where they didn't separate roosters and hens the way we do now. And v'imishum beitzei ov tamei. What about? And there was this is another concern they used to have. Forget about the blood in the egg. They were also concerned. How did they know the egg was a chicken egg, right? How did they know it was an egg from a hen? Maybe it was an egg from some other animal. So he says, yeah, hareinu mitsuyim beinenu. That doesn't happen so much either. So already in the times of the Rishonim, this wasn't really a major concern. Our minhag is we still check eggs, by the way. We still check for blood, but it's not like the end of the world if it didn't get checked. So what Tosfos is introducing is something different than what our Gemara was saying. Our Gemara was talking about a case where you have kemach and dagim. The dagim are not subject to bishul akum, and they're subject to nothing, right? There's no isurim of anything. Anything a guy prepares it, it's fine. And the kemach is subject to bishul akum. So the Gemara says, well, you're being mevashel both of them, so you can treat it like you can treat it by whatever the ikur is. Tosfos is changing the case a little bit. He's saying you're dealing with two ingredients, not that are subject to nothing. It's going to be one or the other. This is either going to be a pasakum issue or it's going to be a bishlakum issue. And then also you would go bust with the ikr, right? You would. It's not only when it's bishlakum or nothing, or to put it differently, when you're being, in the case of the Gemara, you're being mevashel, the entire tarovus is definitely an issue of bishl. That's not a question. The question is, within this bishul, what are you looking at it as if you're being mevashel? Are you being mevashel the kemah, or are you being mevashel the dagim? In Tulsa's case, it's not even definitely bishul. Whether it's called bishul or it's not called bishul depends on the ikar. One could have argued, by learning the Gemara, that Tulsa's chiddush is a major extension, that it's not necessarily something that comes directly from the Gemara. One could have argued by learning the Gemara that when do we look at Iker and Tafel? If I know I'm in the parsha of Bishol, and I know that I did something called Bishol, so then I want to know, what was I Mevashel? Look at the Iker, look at the Tafel. But if I don't even know if I was in the parsha of Bishol, right? If I don't even know whether it's Bishol or Pas, so Iker and Tafel might not determine whether it's Bishol or Pas. Bishul or Pas may have some other geder of determining whether it's Bishul or Pas. Tosas Mechadish Ikur Tafel works for that also. What we're going to have to discuss, Bez Hashem, is what that means, Ikur and Tafel. How do we define Ikur and Tafel, both in Hilchos Brachos and over here, and how they relate to each other? There will be a Parsha Shir after Maariv, Bez Hashem.